I Know Where I've Been from the musical Hairspray. Welcome back, kids. Welcome back from commercial break. We are in studio with Miss Chalet and Carlisha Brown. Welcome
hello,
to Sidebar.
Hello.
Good.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for both coming on. So we're here to talk about this increase in violence against trans women, specifically in the African-American community. Tell us what's going on out there.
So right now, trans women, especially black trans women, are just being targeted towards violence and hate crimes. And it's just an epidemic because we're losing at least 20 trans women a year.
In the black community?
Black community. Wow. Yes, yes.
That's
and
horrible.
These are only trans women that are actually documented. You know, we have many cases that are missing persons, and generally if they're not found in 72 hours, they're usually dead. And we also have an issue with officials misgendering trans people. So some cases that are actually trans women, they're not being documented properly, so they're not being included in the totals. Mm. So it's actually upwards to 50 black trans women that have lost their lives.
Mm. Why is that? Why, I mean, do you think it's a overplay of not only transphobia, but racism on top of it? Or, Carlisha, what do you think?
I don't know if it's a very interesting and super layered situation. What we know specifically with Ms. Booker, who just lost her life, she was a trans woman who was seen on social media. So right now there's just a really interesting time with, as we say, there has been, you know, an increase. But the reality is this has been a continual reality within the community as LGBTQ as a whole. But with this specific case, it was documented, and we got to see her get mauled by a group of people, right? And then after her being assaulted in Texas, then thereafter, now she has been murdered.
So she
now
murdered, but somebody that was probably involved in the brawl, right? Is that what we think?
It's all speculation. Mm-hmm. It's all speculation. But what we know now that we're focused on this case specifically, and to your point, is it racism? Is it a community opportunity? What we know now is these situations are brought to the forefront and then kind of also brushed to the side. But because this has been documented by way of social media, it's now in society's face that whether it was the person who assaulted her or not, the way that we're killed and then the way our stories are brushed to the side is the actual reality. So like we're saying that the 20 plus that are happening every year, as they happen, the story kind of comes up, then it goes back down, and then maybe we're talking about, you know, Kim Kardashian's fourth baby and however that was.
No, but it's. I can guarantee you I've never talked about Kim Kardashian.
Not you specifically. Yeah. Now you're just one person in this whole system of, you know, pop culture.
Of course.
But the reality is that our stories come and then our stories go, and they're not really a topic of conversation, whether it's racism, whether it's a community opportunity. It's happening. And the real opportunity is those who are held accountable and what we're doing with the accountability, as well as the rallying of community and truly standing for us. It's trendy when it's a conversation like Pose. But then when you start talking about the uncomfortable reality surrounding the black trans woman, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, well, let's pivot here and talk about something a bit more glitz and glamour.
Yeah. There's a rally tonight in Los Angeles, right? 6 o'clock?
Yes, yeah. 6 o'clock at Los Angeles City Hall, which is First and...
I think it's Temple Spring, right down.
First and Spring is actually what it is, yeah. Okay. And so this is just an opportunity for community to come together to mourn the lives of the transgender women that are gone, but also to celebrate the lives of the trans women that are here, to give the roses to, you know, our trans women while they're here. You know, there's a lot of trans leaders that are here and doing the work that are often not recognized. Mm-hmm. And so it's also important to do that and to also band with community, our cisgender community, gender nonconforming, and the whole spectrum, so we can figure out ways to combat this problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because we can't do it by ourselves. We need space, safe space to do this, to figure out actions in order to solve the problem.
Yeah. To me, I think one of the biggest problems, the Trump administration, they're really going after the trans community. I mean, in terms
That's
of the LGBT.
Really fantastic
really
point yeah. that you made. What we know is within the Trump administration as a whole, when we think about Black queer folk, there has been a 200% increase on Black gay males as far as hate crimes are concerned. And then we also saw a tremendous spike for Black trans women as a whole as far as hate crimes. And it's just so interesting as we, you know, this country, we're supposed to like separate religion and state and what have you. We've been allowed to use religion as an umbrella to support the hate or even, you know, kind of use it as the charge behind the conditions of how we see, you know, those that don't fit into a certain box of society. This administration as a whole, what we know, has caused so much, I'm going to say, transparency of what America truly stands for.
I would actually say the same thing. If anything, it has brought about a sense of honesty.
Whew.
You know what I mean? Like, now people are showing their true colors. You know, yes, the hate is real, but there's also poverty. There's also homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that especially the Black trans women, the community, are faced with. You know what I mean? And we don't have anybody speaking for us.
Yeah.
Man, not that we need anybody speaking for us. We want a seat at the table.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we can actually say what we need. You know, how do you know what we need if you're not asking us?
Right.
You know?
The homeless issue you just brought up, HUD, which is run by an African-American man, Dr. Ben Carson,
mm-hmm.
just came out with a policy allowing homeless shelters to exclude trans women and trans men under religious exemption.
Exactly.
And that's terrible.
It's awful.
That's the whole situation is this religion. Not religion, just a religious energy behind how we're making our decisions in this world. What I know is we all have the right to worship who we choose to worship. We all have the right to identify how we choose to identify. We all have the right to sleep with whom we choose to sleep with. But when you start taking on someone else's choices and telling them that in their space they're not okay, that's the problem. What we know is there are several religions globally. How am I to say that your book is correct over my book or my book's correct over your book? There's a lot of opinions and ideologies that people are running with that is creating a very unsafe space for everyone. We've seen a ban against Muslims. We've seen how we're treating immigrants. We're seeing how Black men are being brutalized by the police. It's on a level right now where people are finding ways and loopholes to support ignorance and just unethical behavior as a whole. And we're just in a very scary time because...
Well, this is why Thomas Jefferson and the founders put in a wall of separation between church and state. Because they saw what religion... It's still there. I mean, it's still there if we have to fight for it. Because we have to acknowledge some churches are actually pro-LGBT. Not every church is evil.
This
I know that there's churches and like Reverend Carl Beans. We were talking about Carl Bean before we got started. You know, started the Minority AIDS Project. So there are some churches and synagogues that are supportive. And I guess that's the question. On a religious war, do we take our religion against their religion, or do we just try to keep it out completely? It's a good question, right?
Well, we know that there's the rule, and then there's the how do you say that? It's the rule
exemption,
religious exemption. No, where there's like you're saying Carl Bean. That's one church, right?
Oh,
and then we're saying the overall idea of religion, unfortunately, comes with conditions when it comes to people who are outside of the narrative of what these churches deem. I'm not going to speak on a specific religion. I'm just saying religion as a whole.
Right.
So the reality is, worship however the fuck you choose to worship, right? But on the flip side, if my religion doesn't, you know, jar with your religion, that doesn't give you the position then to tell me that my life is wrong over your life. Because now you're taking on a position by way of whatever book you're choosing to, you know, to operate in, where you're not even supposed to have judgment. So it's just this really interesting, again, these are the layers of opportunities when it comes to just being a queer person of color.
So we're talking to Carlisha Brown and Michelle A. here on Sidebar with John Durand. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Sisters are doing it for themselves. Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics. I picked that song for you two.
Yeah, the right song.
Perfect. It is perfect.
The right song.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me, in the early days of the LGBT movement, lesbians were specifically excluded from the women's movement. Like now, the National Organization of Women did not want lesbians. There was not even a conversation about trans women back then, back in the 70s. But it feels like today that's one of the battles that's going on, is the inclusion of trans women.
Absolutely.
Not only in the LGBT, but in greater society as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like the lesbian groups, or even, you know, before, it was against the law to be gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Until 75 in California.
But so right now, it is our time to speak up and be included, you know what I mean, and be visible and to say that our lives do matter. And it's not a sense of trying to ask for space, but affirming that we are here and our lives actually do matter. And we are going to be loud about it, you know what I mean, because it's not going to change unless we band together and make some noise.
Mm-hmm. Carlisha, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think that that's really interesting that we can say that, you know, lesbians weren't a part of the women's movement, or trans folk not really being included at the table. I feel like that's a very European-American, like, idea. When we think of, for example, Jules Nightclub opened in the 70s and then, you know, being a part of the AIDS epidemic, we saw the black trans women, no, black lesbians, become of service to the black gay males who were ostracized for who they were and what they were at that time in history. And then to take that a step further, when you think of the ballroom scene being a black queer POC space, that's very inclusive of the trans person. And in those spaces, those are the communities that are mourning these folk. These are the communities that are standing up for, you know, just being black and queer today as a whole. And historically, these are the spaces that are kind of reserved for us. And again, like I say, a whole industry has been built on the back of black queer folk. But, you know, as we glamorize pieces of the black queer narrative, where are these people that are saying that who we are today is now to be celebrated, showing up in situations like Miss Booker, who just lost her life? Where are your voices?
Very true. You know, Connie Norman was an AIDS activist with ACT UP LA, a very dear friend of mine. And when she died in the epidemic, I made her a promise that she asked me, said, please take care of my girls after I'm gone. That's what she was telling me. Take care of trans women. And that's why we have a trans flag in West Hollywood that flies 365 days a year, and created the first trans advisory board in the nation, and trying to do exactly what you're saying.
Awesome.
Because a lot of people don't realize, but Stonewall Inn, since we're all talking about Stonewall here,
Pride. And it's really interesting that all this is happening and we're at the 50-year mark, but how much progression have we really made?
Well, and the history is, the first punch was thrown by Stormy Lavery, who was an African-American lesbian. A black lesbian threw the first punch.
Interesting.
The first brick was thrown by Marsha Johnson, who was a black trans woman.
Yes,
and the first Molotov cocktail was thrown by Sylvia Rivera, a Latina.
Interesting.
So it was all women of color that got
that
the got everything
lines,
going
got
at
going.
Stonewall.
Don't we do it every time?
We do it every time.
But it needs to be recognized. Yeah. And that's the thing. We need to be recognized.
And respected. If you really want to know what's going on in America and you want to check the temperature, they always say tune into a black woman. A black trans woman, a black lesbian woman, because we're going to be honest about what we truly need to survive in a space where we're constantly being suppressed and told to show up however it's most digestible by America.
Yeah. Right.
Are you two native Angelinas? Were you both born and raised here? Or
no.
Bay Area!
Yeah, we're both from the Bay Area.
My last guest today is Cleve Jones from San Francisco.
It's
my
final guest today.
Yeah, yes. So we made our way down here, but 10 years ago, 10 plus years?
14.
Okay. So, Oakland, San Francisco,
Oakland? East Oakland.
I'm from Sacramento, but most of my stopping was in Oakland and or San Francisco.
Got it.
Yes, but Oakland, stand up.
So tell me what it was like to be a young trans woman in the black community in Alameda County or in Sacramento County.
Ooh, it was very, very tough. So I'm from East Oakland, deep East Oakland, which is like 98th and East 14th. And so that is like hyper hyper masculinity, like
masculinity,
just
like Black Panther
man,
on steroids.
Machismo. Yeah. Like,
well,
huge,
hold on,
like,
pause. I don't think Black Panther. We're going to use that as like a negative.
Just no. Oh no, I love Black Panther.
Okay. Yeah. Just so we're clear.
I own a copy. That's
you
how much
said
I love
toxic masculinity, and you
well,
said Black
well,
Panther.
Even,
be clear
well,
on
even
that.
The original Black Panthers was a movement to. Yep. Connect and to do for our own community. But yeah, so growing up in Oakland was very hard, you know, with bullying and where you're supposed to be, you know, this man, you know, a Black man especially. So anything outside of the norm was basically like you got a kick me sign on your back. You know what I mean? Like people would just come at you just for being any type of effeminate. And so I had to grow very thick skin very quickly and fight. You know what I mean?
The bullies in the neighborhood?
What, oh, absolutely.
What about family, church?
Family too.
Yeah.
Church too. You know, I was bullied by family. I was kicked out of my house at 15. It was an issue. It was a hard life to live, but it definitely made me who I am now. You know what I mean? And so my focus now is, yeah, I went through that, but healing is important, you know, to get rid of those traumas that you go through in order to recognize your own strength and what you can give to the community.
Right. Carly, what about you growing up?
You know, everything that she's saying, I think, is a very normal narrative for a trans person of color. Unfortunately, the structure of the Black community and being so disenfranchised and being so complicated and being so layered with trauma, it is hard to be outside of the norm as we're trying to push this agenda forward to include us and look at us as human beings. And so when you are different in these spaces, it's very challenging. But most trans women of color who have grown up and are, you know, outwardly themselves have to deal with the molestation, have to deal with the child abuse, have to deal with, you know, the societal pressures. But what we also have to deal with is when we decide to, for me, the breaking moment for me when I realized don't no one give a root a toot about me but me was when I was assaulted in 10th grade by a gentleman walking down the street. I didn't even see him coming, and he sucker punched me so hard that I could hear the ringing in my ear for like a half hour. We called the police. The police walked in. As he is taking down the story, he's giggling through it. Now you tell me, am I supposed to call the police for protection or to be ostracized? Because that's what I felt in that moment. So what I know from a societal standpoint in that moment, that the community is not there for me and the people who are supposed to be there for me are absolutely not there for me. And then when the pen moves from the paper to say, well, what were you doing?
Yes, part of my French. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You you're, know?
Yeah. I was walking down
women,
the street.
I was walking down the street. Right. And it,
but we're often looked at as the victim and the aggressor. Mm. So it's, you can't call the police, you can't ask anybody for help, because it's not gonna, you're not gonna get it.
We have less than a minute left. Tell us about websites or checking out your organizations.
So we are representing the UWC, the Unique Women's Coalition, and you can check them out at the uwc.org and also Flux at AHF, and also the Trans Latina Coalition is helping the rally tonight, which is tonight at 6 p.m. at First in Spring.
As well as we want you guys to be all in the loop that the Trans March of Visibility, which will be our, like a first of many, just kind of putting us on the map. And if you are an ally, if you want to stand with us, that is September 27th and September 28th in Washington, D.C. This is the time to put your words into action. Like, are you a talker or are you a walker? So instead of just liking a picture and scrolling, how about you put on a t-shirt, get a picket sign, and say enough is enough.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Carlisha Brown and Michelle. Thank you both. Did I say that right?
Yes, you
okay,
got it.
Good, yeah. Thanks for joining us here on the Sidebar. Good luck at the rally tonight at 6 o'clock.
Thank you. We hope to see you there.
I won't. I'll tell you why. When we come back, Vanessa Romaine, Black lesbian power dyke from Long Beach Pride, and Steve Genzel. Thanks for tuning into Sidebar with John Duran here on Channel Q.